We begin the current daf Masechtas Chulin daf Kuf Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Kuf Mem Beis, two lines off at the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues by quoting a brayse that was mentioned in the previous daf, which elaborated in the halacha of our previous Mishnah. Gufo, we learned in the brayse that said Ha'ichel Gid Hanasha Shal Behemet Tameir. Again, the same case that we discussed in our Mishnah. If someone eats the Gid Hanasha from a non-kosher animal, so Behudim Mechayiv Shtayim, as we pointed out in our Gemara's previous discussion, that when he holds in the Mishnah up at Tmeya, the Gid Hanasha applies even by a non-kosher animal, you're liable for two, for eating a non-kosher animal and for eating the Gid Hanasha. Now, however, as we continue to have with Kofal from Adav, but Reb Shimon Pater, Shimon says that person's exempt, which sounds like totally exempt. And that is the Gemara. Reb Shimon, Monav Shach, what is it that he's saying? Either way you look at it, there's a question. If he holds that a prohibition could take effect on another prohibition, well, l'chayiv nami mishum gid, he should also be liable for the isra of gid anasha, because an isra could take effect on a pre-existing isra of being a non-kosher animal, which we said that happens in formation before the gid anasha. And he ain't isra chalalisa. Okay, fine. If he holds that a prohibition cannot take effect on the pre-existing prohibition, fine. L'chayiv mishum tomet the kadam. Okay, but let it at least take effect on the fact that he's eating a non-kosher animal, which is first, and the e ain't begidim leisadam. And if you're going to say no, the reason why he holds you exempt from eating the gidan asha from a non-kosher animal, even for the isra of non-kosher animal, is because gidim don't give a taste, and if it's not considered like eating meat from a non-kosher animal, well, then you're back to the question, l'chayv mishum gid. Then you should be liable for eating the gidan asha, because now you cannot exempt from the isra of gidan asha because of enes achal, because here you're saying there is no pre-existing isra of tamei of non-kosher animal, because it's not considered the meat from a non-kosher animal. So how do you understand that a person should be totally exempt? So Amar Ravi says, la'olam kesaver in begidim leisintam. Truth is, Reb Shimon holds that the sinews, the tendons, don't give taste. So therefore, there's no violation of eating from a non-kosher animal. Now additionally, there's no isra of eating gidan asha, because he holds it doesn't apply by a non-kosher animal, not because of ein isra chalalisa, rather b'shani hasam. There it's different, because the pasuk explicitly excludes it. Because the Amakra, the pasuk says in Bereishis, by the source of the isra gid hanasha, it says akein lo yichlu b'nei Yisrael. Therefore, the Jewish people do not eat as gid hanasha, that sinew which was taken out of place, that one which we know as the inner sinew that goes down the thigh from the top to the bottom. Now, what the pasuk is teaching us, however, is Misha Gidei Asur Basari Mutter. It's saying that the Gid is Asur, which the inference is only that sinew is Asur, but the rest of the meat is permitted. That's where the Gid Anosh is forbidden. Yatsa Sezu, Shigidei Asur Basari Asur. Here that excludes and precludes the Gid Anosh of a non-kosher animal, because here not only is the Gid Asur, but also the flesh is Asur, and therefore actually there is no Issa Gid Anosh of a non-kosher animal, even when there's no violation of behemoth tameya, of non-kosher animal, and therefore he says you're exempt from both isurim and the gid anush of a non-kosher animal. Continuing a related discussion, which we were talking about in our Mishnah and the Brice that we just quoted regarding the gid anush of a non-kosher animal. So on a similar theme, Amr Yehuda Marav, he says, Ha'ichel gid anush shel nevela. Someone eats the gid anush of an animal that's kosher, but it wasn't properly slaughtered. So again, it gets into the discussion regarding Yisrochal al-Isr, regarding, okay, so what are you violating over here? There's one of Gid Anosh, and additionally, it's a nevela, it's a non-kosher animal, in the sense of that it wasn't properly slaughtered. So Remei Mechayev Shtayim, it says you're liable for both for that of the Gid Anosh and for the additional Isr of nevela, which takes effect when it wasn't properly slaughtered. But for Chacham, in the Chayev Alachas, the sages say, no, only liable for one of them, for one of the Isrim. Now, that, however, says the Halacha, but Umaydim Chacham L'Remei, but the sages do agree to Remei that you would be liable for two Isrim. If someone needs to get a nasha of a carbon oila, which is a very severe prohibition, vishal shir haniskal, and that of an ox that, because it gored or for some other reason, has to be stoned. And what makes that more stringent is because there, they're not only usher to be eaten, they're actually forbidden to have any benefit from at all, which is called isana. There says Rav Yehuda Rav that the Chacham agree, shechayiv shtayim, that there you would be liable for both elements, that of the Isser that there is over there, whatever the Isser Anah is, whether of Shar HaNiskol or that of the Karban Ayla, and of that of the Gid Anosh, and as the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning. Now, first the Gemara asks, Uman Hai Tana. So who is this Chachamim, this Tana, that we find the Be'isser Kailu by an inclusive Isser, Isser Chalalissa Lesley. It doesn't hold that wouldn't allow it, that a prohibition should take effect on another prohibition. In other words, as follows. I understand the case. The Isser Gid Anasha takes effect on an animal a kosher animal, which is what we're discussing, it just ends up being a nevela or oila, whatever it is, it takes effect from the moment the animal is born. Now, before the animal became a nevela, so it's gid, that gid anusha was forbidden, but the flesh was permitted. Now, once the animal becomes nevela, then even its flesh becomes aser, as a nevela is, it's on all the meat of the animal. Now, although that the designation of nevela should really take effect even on the gid hanasha, even if you hold generally einis achalalissa. Why? Because there's this concept called kail, which is inclusive. What does that mean? Because when the isin nevela is taking effect, it's including other elements too, because it's prohibiting not only the gid hanasha, it's also prohibiting the flesh that's with it. So you could say that even according to the one that says generally einis achalalissa, if something is already prohibited, it cannot take effect another prohibition on it. It's already prohibited. You would say, technically, that in this case, in the nevela, it should take effect. Because what's called migui, since it's taking effect on any ways of the flesh, which was permitted up until now, so it should also take effect on the gid hanasha, which is inclusive with the meat. Even so, you see that the opinion of these chacham hold that it doesn't take effect. They say when it's a gid hanasha of nevela, they hold, no, you're only going to be chayav one, you're only going to be chayav the is of gid hanasha, not of that of nevela. However, Issa koil be issa chamer islay. But these chacham hold when it's an inclusive isser, in addition to the fact that it's more stringent, then they hold, oh, then it will take effect. Like the case that they say they agree by the oil and the shari niskel. What does that mean? When the second isser has two elements, not just isser koil of being inclusive, but also maisiv of being extensive, like the case we described of the oil and the shari niskel, where originally when the animal is born, so the gid is aser, and the flesh is permitted. Then when they sanctify the animal, or if it gores, now its flesh is also prohibited, so that's the iser koil. But in addition, the gid itself, originally was only aser to be eaten, but it's permitted to have benefit from it. When you subsequently sanctify the animal, then the iser hektish takes effect on the gid to be prohibited even to have benefit from it. Now, that's not called iser chalal iser. Because what the original prohibition had left over, which was the issa gid hanasha, which was only for eating, the second issa, that of, let's say, hektish, is taking effect, which is saying that it's even going to be asa b'hana. Now, once you're saying that the designation of the title of hektish could take effect on the gid itself to make it prohibited for benefit, so obviously it's also taking effect now that it's considered hektish, so it's prohibited to eat it in the element of hektish too, where if you're going to eat the gid hanasha now you're going to be liable on both points. And that is, although regarding eating, it already was already prohibited from the element of being gid hanasha, and you should say ines chalasa, but you say no. Since it is taking effect regarding to the element of hana, so it's also going to take effect regarding the element of achil. So you see, this chachamim holds that issa koil itself, we won't say issa chalasa. But if it's issa koil with issa chamer, which what we're calling issa maisiv, those two things then it will take effect. Who is that tana? Who is this chachamim that holds that differential? Samar Rabbi says, Rabbi Yisai Glili, who, as Gemara will show, he obviously does not hold of Isser Koil by a light Isser, which is what we're calling like the case in the Vela, but however, by an Isser Chamer, which is what we're calling when you have an Isser Koil with Isser Maisim, that we don't find that he disagrees. And therefore, we could say that he agrees by Isser Chamer, but by Isser Kal, like by Nevela, he would disagree and say that, no, even there ain't Isser Chal al-Isser. As we find it not, like we learn the Mishnah Masech Lizvachim. The Mishnah says the following halacha, Tamei Sha'achal Kaidish. A kayin that's tamei that eats from kachim. Now, says the Mishnah, bein kaydish tamei, bein kaydish tar, whether the kachim that he's eating is tamei or tar, doesn't make a difference. Either way, chayv is going to be liable for karma chattas, because someone that eats kachim when his body is impure, if he does it deliberately, is chayv karas, as the pasuk says, and you're designed by nefesh ashtech albasa, he's going to get karas. Something you do chayv karas, but amazing, when you do it by mistake, then you chayv a karma chattas. Basically, Lili Emri says, well, it depends. Tamei shechel asatar chayv. If someone that's tamei that eats pure kachim, then he's chayv b'karma chatas. But tamei she'achal esa tamei pater. But if the tamei kain is eating kachim that's tamei, then he's going to be exempt. Shlo yachal el davar tamei, because all he ate was something that's tamei, and the liability would only be if he's eating it that it's tahar, and the problem is because he has tumas aguf. But if he's eating the kachim that itself is tamei, which is actually its own violation, even if he's tahar, so he's eating a davar tamei, so he's not going to be chayv b'karma chatas over there. On Adam Alay, the sages said back to Bisek Lili, what do you mean? Af tamei shachal asatar, but even the case that you agreed to, when the kain himself is tamei, but the kachim is tar, but kivin shenaga by timahu, the second he touches it, before he eats it, he's already making a tamei. And therefore, that's the case of you're describing of tamei shalchol tamei, and still the Torah says he is liable for karban chatas over there. So that was what they said back to Bisek Lili. Now the question was, Shapa Kamri Le Rabban Bisek Lili. That seems to be a good rejoinder. What is Bisek Lili going to answer over there? On that Vama Rabbi had explained for Bisek Lili that you're right. Benitma haguf v'achakach nitma baster. If the Kohen first had become Tameh, his own body, and only subsequently did the Kachim become Tameh, so you could have a case when a Tameh that's eating Tahar, and yes, he makes it Tameh when he touches it, but since the Tumah of his body comes before the Tumah of Hektish, you're right. Kulam alei pligi, no one's going to disagree, there obviously would agree, the Chayiv, that he's going to be liable for Karma Chattis, and that if he did it deliberately, he'd be Chayiv Karis, because since the first thing that happened was that his own body became Tameh, at that point in time when his body became Tameh, he became Usher in Kachim, this Kachim, with the Issa of Karas, because the Issa Karas Kadim. Because first thing that took effect on him was something of a Chiyav Karas, and then later on, subsequently, when the meat became Tameh, fine, the Issa Karas of the Tumah of his own body is not removed. So therefore, yeah, there, of course, basically would agree that he would be Chayav Karas Machadis. And therefore, the case that they were saying, oh, what are you going to do over there? No, he agrees over there. Ki pligi, when do they disagree, is benitma basa, is if the meat became tummy first, which that tummy meat is forbidden for all kahanim, but that's not a chiyuv karas, it's only just a regular law of negative prohibition, which is vabasa shiiga, if a meat becomes tummy, kahanim that are pure or any are not allowed to eat it. Now, but va'acha kef nitma guf, and only subsequently after that did his body also become tummy. That's the machlaikis. Rabban islahu isr, the Rabban hold that an Isser could take effect on a pre-existing Isser if it's through Kail, if it's inclusive. Now here, the prohibition when his body became Tameh is inclusive, meaning because it includes even things that were pure and permitted to him before this with all those things that were forbidden to him, like this one which was already Tameh. So the Migid Mechayev Achatichas Taharis Da'ama, since it's also making him liable for pieces that up until now and still are Tahar, that he's forbidden to them because now his body's Tameh, so he's also going to be liable for that which was already Tameh because of what's called the Isser Koil. It's inclusive. So once including that, it could also take effect on that which already had the Isser of the Lab Alma of the Tumah of the meat itself. But for Bisek Lili, less lay Isser Koil. And that's where proving that he's the Tana of that previous halacha that we brought. It doesn't hold that an inclusive Isser could take effect as Issa Chalalessa, because the Migul Amrina, we don't say this concept of since it's taking effect, since it's taking effect on other things, it'll take effect on this too. And therefore, the prohibition of his bodily tummy, will not take effect on the pre-existing tumma of the meat. And therefore, all you're going to have is a lav ba'alma because of tummy meat, and not the chiv kars. So we see that Rabbi Yisik Lili does not hold of the Isra of Kail. So therefore, the Tana we quoted before that does not hold of Issa Kail is Rabbi Yisik Lili. And that's what, however, the Tana over there is teaching us. But when it's Isser Chamer, when besides the Isser Kel, there's also Isser Maisiv, then Rabbi Yisek Lili would agree that Isser Kel would take effect and that one would be violating both Isserim. But on this approach, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yisek Lili, Nihid Isser Kel less Rabbi Yisek Kel, so you're explaining he's the Tana of that previous statement that we said. So you're saying that although, as we're proving from this halacha, that when it's a light Isser, The fact that it's inclusive is not going to make it prohibited on the pre-existing thing, but Yavi Isser Chamer Yachal Isser Kal. But you're saying he's that Tana who holds, but when it's not just Isser Maisa, but it's also more stringent, then it takes effect on the pre-existing lighter Isser. So that should be the same thing actually for the halacha that you just quoted now from the Mishnah Masechet Zvachim, because in Ma'ini, what are we talking about? Tumas Haguf, the subsequent thing that became Tameh, was that you're saying that in the case that they disagree, is his body became Tameh. Shari Tumas HaGuf Bukaris, when the violation of when his body is Tameh and then he eats Kachim, then there's a punishment of Karis. And you said that he agrees by Isser Chamer. And therefore he should be adding on a Chiyav of Karis, which is more severe than just the Lav Ba'amah of the Tumah of the Basar. So then why is this not a case of Isser Kail with Isser Chamer that actually should take effect? And why is he saying that you're not going to be Chayiv for the Tumas HaGuf? Adam Ravashi says, "Man lemul under Tumas Aguf Chamur." Who's to tell us that the body tumah is considered more stringent, therefore to be taking effect as the Issa Chalal Isser with the Issa Kail? No, Dima Tumas Basa Chamur. Maybe the first Isser, the pre-existing Isser of when the meat is tumah, that's more severe. How is that possible? When it isn't Tumas Aguf Karis and this is just a Lav Ba'alma? Yeah, because it has a different stringency. The less like tahara b'mikvah, because it doesn't have purification in the mikvah. A person who his body became tameh, he could immerse himself in the mikvah and be tar. Piece of meat, you can't do that. It's tameh, it's tameh, it's done. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's not a difficulty. It's considered isser kal, and therefore it's not taking effect. And therefore, again, we could explain that previous tanoic statement of the chachamim, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, because we don't find that by isser chamer that he's going to hold of that there is no isser kal. There that there's no isser kal in zvachim is because actually it's just isser kal. It's not necessarily isser chamer. Now Rashi points out, although according to Rabbi Shimon, we also find in general that he doesn't hold of isser kal, as we learn in the Brayer. Rabbi Shimon says that if someone eats a nevela on Yom Kippurim, two problems, nevela and Yom Kippurim, he's exempt from a chiv of chatas. Why? Which is only by Yom Kippurim, not by nevela, because the isser Yom Kippurim cannot take effect on the pre-existing of isser nevela. Even though the isser of Yom Kippurim is the isser kail, because it includes not only the nevela, but also permitted things together that you can't eat in Yom Kippurim. So you see, it doesn't hold the isser kail. Why don't we say it's Reb Shimon? Why are we saying it's just Reb Yisrael Glili? Even so, says Rashi, we can't say it's like Reb Shimon, because he says there's no isser kail even when it's isser chamer. Because Yom Kippurim is a chiv of karas, and the vela is just a negative prohibition. So therefore, it's not only Isser Kail, we're including other things, it's also more severe, it's also more extensive. And the Tana, the previous statement that we had said, holds that by Isser Chama we do say Isser Kail, and therefore can't be Reb Shimon. Rather, we're saying it's like Reb Yisrael Glili. However, as the Gemara continues, Talmud Beis, Reb Yisrael Glili less Isser Kail, is that really so, that Reb Yisrael Glili does not hold of Isser Kail, as we said, by Isser Kal, but by Isser Chama he does? But by Issachal, he says, then you're not going to say Issachal Issa when it's more inclusive. But Vatanya, the Braisa seems to contradict this. The Braisa says, Shabbos v'Yom Kippur, meaning if it's Yom Kippurim that falls out on the Shabbos. Shagag v'as malacha, and someone by mistake goes and does a malacha. Now, that's a problem because it's Yom Kippurim, and it's a problem because it's Shabbos. Each one individually has an Issa malacha. Says the Braisa, minayin shechai bal zeh ba'atzmeh bal zeh ba'atzmeh. How do you know that you're liable separately for Shabbos and for Yom Kippurim? That's what the Pasuk teaches when it says Shabbos he Lashem, that it, this, the word he, it is Shabbos for Hashem, which is referring to Shabbos Bereshis, that of the seventh day of every week, which sounds like that if there is another prohibition that's coming at the same time, one would be liable for this Shabbos, for the Isra of Shabbos by itself, because it says he, which is saying that this is a problem. So to Yom Kippurim, it says Yom Kippurim who, and therefore you're liable for that by itself. That's the very basic lily. So you chai for both. Pekibayim says, no, in the chayv al-achas, you're only liable for one of them. Now, the thing is, regarding this case, although it seems to be different than what the Gemara is asking, because the Gemara is asking regarding an element of Isser Chal al-Isser, and then we're saying, but you see that he holds that Isser Chal, it would take effect. Now, this seems to be a different type of case, because this actually seems to be what's called Isser Bevas Achas. The prohibition of Shabbos and Yom Kippurim happens at the same time once it's sundown on a Friday night, which is becoming Shabbos and Yom Kippurim. However, as Rashi explains, what the Gemara's question is, if you say, according to Reb Yisrael Glili, that he holds of the concept of Isser Kail or Isser Maisav, that then it will take effect in the pre-existing Isser, so then you could say that's why you can be liable on both of them that happen at the same time. But as we'll explain later on, there is such a Manda Amar that holds that if it could take effect at different times, then it could take effect at the same time. But if it can't, then it can't take effect either at the same time too. So, if you would say that you hold of Issa Maisav or Issa Kail, so we could understand that it could happen at the same time. Now, technically, you could say Issa Maisav or Issa Kail regarding Yom Kippurim and Shabbos. Why? Because even if one of them technically would happen before the other, we're saying that, as the Gemara is saying right now, they don't. They're happening at the same time. But if they technically would be at different times, you would be able to say that the other one could take effect if you hold of Isser Maisav or Isser Kail. How so? Shabbos, in regards to Yom Kippurim, is if let's say Yom Kippurim is first, Shabbos would be considered an Isser Maisav, a more extensive Isser. Why? Because there is a liability if Yom Kippurim was first, so one would be chayiv if he does a deliberate malacha, karis. But on Shabbos, if someone does b'mezid, it's more extensive, the Isser, that is chayiv for Mrs. Bezin, by the hands of the court. Now, so too in the reverse, Yom Kippurim regarding Shabbos is Issa Kail is more inclusive, because Shabbos, yeah, it's usher to do malacha, but it's permitted to eat. But, however, once you're saying it's prohibited to eat because of Yom Kippurim, then we would say that that would be inclusive and would also include the problem about doing malacha on Yom Kippurim. But if you say that Issa Kail and Issa Maisa don't take effect, as the Gemara is assuming for Abiyasi, unless you have both together, but we're talking about individually, So then even when they happened at the same time, why could they both take effect? How's Rabbi Yisrael Gluta saying that Yechayev Shtayim? So says the Gemara, Shalach Rav and Mishum Der Bi'yis B'Pchanina, he says, Kachat Tzal Shal Mishnah. He says, you're right. The way you quoted this Braisa, the opinions are correct, but there is a mistake in the attribution of the opinions. The Epoch, you actually have to switch it around. It's Rabbi Kiva who says, Yigim Yechayev Shtayim, and it's Rabbi Yisrael Gluta who says, Yigim Yechayev One. And therefore, that fits very well with the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Gluta that you only Chayev One, because he holds it that there's a Kail, or the Issa Maisav is not going to take effect, and therefore you're only going to be chayv on one Isser and not on both. Now, Rashi points out, as we alluded to earlier, that technically the Gemara could have said that Rabbi Yisrael Gluta holds, you're right, Isser Kailul cannot take effect on a pre-existing Isser, but when they happen at the same time, as we said, such a concept in the previous daf could take effect. However, as Rashi says, Rabbi Yisrael B'chanina, who is giving this answer, he holds that the one who doesn't hold of Isser Kailul, which Rabbi Yisrael Gluta, also doesn't hold that then the Isser could take effect at the same time, which is a machlek, is a dispute in Yevamos, in the third paragraph of Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. And therefore, he couldn't say that approach that, oh, here it's at the same time, because since it can't happen at different times, it can't happen at the same time. And if he just said that switch around the attributions of the opinion. Now, based on this, Shalach Rav Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giyuri Mishum de Rav Yechanan, they said in the same of Rav Yechanan, that L'divir B'Yisrael Gluta L'may Da'afchan, according to the opinion of B'Yisrael Gluta, now that we switched around this price that we just quoted, and we said that he's the one that says you're going to be exempt from Shabbos and Yikipurim to be chayiv on both, that you're actually only going to be chayiv on one. So based on that concept, and we technically had to say that because he doesn't hold the Issa Kail, but it comes out in regard to this idea about when Shabbos is the same day as Yikipurim, that if let's say Shagag b'Shabbos, the previous case was talking about when he was mistaken regarding Shabbos and Yikipurim, but let's say he forgot that it was Shabbos, but vehezid be Yom Kippurim, but he knew that it was Yom Kippurim. So in regards to doing Malach Yom Kippurim, he was deliberate, but in regards to Shabbos, he was considered Shagig. So then it comes out that Chayiv, he's going to be liable for Karma Chatzis because of being doing a Malach by mistake on Shabbos. So therefore for that, he's Chayiv of Karma Chatzis. But hezid be Shabbos be Shagig be Yom Kippurim, but let's say he knew it was Shabbos. So in regards to that, he did a Malach deliberately. But he didn't know it's Yom Kippurim, in regards to that, he did it by mistake. So they're actually potter. He's going to be exempt from a kamachatas regarding both of them. As the Gemara is going to explain this reasoning of this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan. As the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason for this? So Amar Abaye, he says that Rabbi Yechanan held that this kamachatas that Rabbi Yisrael Gluta said that when you did b'shagig malacha, when it's both Shabbos and Kippurim, that you're only going to be chayiv one, like we said once we switched it around, you know which one it's for? Which one is it? Says Abaye, Rabbi Yechanan held it was for Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos comes first. And therefore, Yom Kippurim, you're exempt for because the Isser of Yom Kippurim cannot take effect on the pre-existing Isser of Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos Kviyah V'Kaima. Shabbos is established and extant. It's always there. Shabbos Hashem made the first week of creation. That is always there. Yom Kippurim, Beidina, the Kavile. But Yom Kippurim, like all Yom Tovim, it's the Jewish courts that go ahead and establish that. That comes later, and therefore that Isser of Yom Kippurim cannot take effect on the pre-existing Isser of Shabbos. So therefore, when someone is deliberate on Shabbos, meaning he's doing it b'mezid, he knows it's Shabbos, but he's not aware that it's Yom Kippurim, so regarding to that, he's b'shagig, he's totally exempt from machatis. Why? Because regards to Shabbos, the person is doing it deliberately. You don't bring a chatas for doing it deliberately. And regarding Yom Kippurim, that he was b'shagig, but that issur doesn't take effect anyway. And that's why, said Rabbi Yechanan, in that case, you can be totally exempt, according to this new understanding of the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Gluta. However, on this interpretation of Abaya, Amalei Rabba said to him, well, save, tarvaya b'hadi hadodi kasu. What do you mean? At the end of the day, both of them, Shabbos and Yom Kippurim, are taking effect at the same time. There is no, like you're saying, later issur. Shabbos started then in the 6 days of creation, seventh day, and this is with the Jewish courts. But ultimately, this Friday night, when it's happening, they're both happening at the same time. So you can't say that Yom Kippurim is later and therefore it's a Issa Chal Issa can't take effect. Rather, says Rava, obviously, this that Rabbi Yisrael Gluta, when he exempts, is because he holds that regarding Issa Chal Issa, an Issa Kail or Issa Maisiv individually will not take effect on the pre-existing Issa. However, because of that, even when it's an Isser that's happening at the same time, you're also only going to be chayiv only for one Isser. And therefore, however, what that means to say is, not because it's Isser Chalal Isser. Says Rabbi, it's happening at the same time. So it's happening at the same time. So as we established before, that opinion as Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina was understanding, so since it can't happen at different times, even at the same time, you're only going to be chayiv as one. However, the relevancy that what Rabbi is disputing Abaye is, but when you do one of the two, Shabbos, Yom Kippurim, b'mezid, then the other shagig is still extant. You just can't be chayav on both of them because it can't happen at different times. But it's not that you chayav for Shabbos earlier than Yom Kippurim. They're both happening at the same time. You're just not chayav for both because for both isurim to take effect at the same time, you would need them to take effect at subsequent times. And they can't take a subsequent time. So even at the same time, you only chayav one. But when one is b'mezid, then the other one, of course, you'll be chayav for. And therefore, elama rava. Rather, Rava gives a different interpretation. He says that it can't be this halacha that was said before, that when you mezid on Shabbos and shagig Yom Kippurim, you can be potter. No, if there's no Shabbos because you mezid Yom Kippurim, you would be chayv. Rather, this teaching that Rav Yitzchak had sent, that, oh, regarding Yom Kippurim, you'll be exempt, it was not in relation to the previous Gemara's discussion of Rav Yisrael Glili. And actually, the one who said the words, as we had quoted in our Gemara, that Rav Yochanan's teaching was, according to Rav Yisrael Glili, what's called lahadam, that never happened. That wasn't part of the teaching. Rather, it was actually a whole different context. Shmadahava. That teaching was regarding a time of shmad, when the non-Jewish governments try imposing that their Jews should not practice their religion. And they had decreed that the Jewish people should not practice Yom Kippur. And that, v'shalchu mitam, so they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, that the Yom Kippur dehashata, so the Yom Kippur of that year, Shabbatuhu, should be practiced on Shabbos, even though it didn't take effect on Shabbos. It was actually one of the days of the week. So why did they say the Jewish people should practice Yom Kippurim on Shabbos? So that simply they shouldn't forget the laws of Yom Kippurim. And moreover, the enemies will not discern that they're practicing Yom Kippurim because every single Shabbos they don't do malacha. So that year, Yom Kippurim, they said, let's practice it on Shabbos. It was regarding to that Yom Kippurim that Rav Yitzchak said that if someone was b'shagig regarding Yom Kippurim, and he was b'mezid regarding Shabbos, regarding that teaching was the same. It was regarding that case that we said that he'll be putter. Why will he be putter? Not because Shabbos is before, like Abai was saying. No, because it's not really Yom Kippurim. And therefore that Shagaga is not considered a valid Shagaga, and that's why we said that you'll be putter, because it's not really Yom Kippurim. We're only saying practice Yom Kippurim that we shouldn't forget the halachas. And says the Gemara, V'chein ki'asa Ravin v'chal nechusei, so too when Ravin came and all those who came down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amru k'Rava, they interpreted this halacha like Rava, and therefore it was not like Abaye had said, because Shabbos comes first, and therefore Yom Kippurim is the Isser that's not going to be Chal Isser. No, of course that in the regular classic case, if you mezer the one and you shugging the other one, you'll be chayiv for that other one. In general, the halacha is, they can't take effect at the same time when you're shugging them both, because since they can't take effect at different times, they can't take effect at the same time. Here that we said Yom Kippur, it'll be potter is that year because not really Yom Kippur. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our mission that we had quoted, that Amr Bihuda, as he was supporting his opinion, that he said that the Issa Giranosh applies even by a non-kosher animal. He said, V'aloi b'mnei Yaakov v'chulu, you find the sons of Yaakov, who before the Torah was given, they were allowed to eat non-kosher animals, and they were forbidden to eat the Giranosh. So you see it applies even by a non-kosher animal, which v'chulu, etc. They said to him that no, that was actually only usher for them after Matan Torah, and it was only said and written in the Torah at that point, but actually their prohibition was only after Matan Torah, and if you don't find the Issa Anusha by non-kosher animal. As the Gemara elaborates, Tanya learned the Braisa. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chinamer, does the Pasuk say, Al-Kain lo yichlo b'nei Yaakov, therefore the sons of Yaakov should not eat, which that would refer obviously to the Shvatim, to the sons of Yaakov. It only says the sons of Yisrael, which that terminology of Bnei Yisrael, that terminology is only by Har Sinai, which actually later on is going to ask on that we seemingly find them being called the sons of Yisrael even before Har Sinai. But what do you mean? It doesn't say Bnei Yaakov, it says Bnei Yisrael. And that designation and that therefore that Issa B'Giranosha is only by Har Sinai. Ella rather says the Chachamim, this pasuk was not said until B'Sinai Nemar. It was only said by Har Sinai. Ella, it's only just after Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Har Sinai and he came to write in the Torah. So he wrote the prohibition near the incident. Shenichta b'mkami, it was written in its place. When it happened, Leidem Ezetam Neslem, to know what's the reason why it was forbidden for them, because the Malach forwarded him and therefore it was written over there. But really, the Isser was only given by Har Sinai, and therefore, again, you don't find it by a Behemoth Tameh. However, on these words of the Chacham, as we alluded, Masav Rava. Rava asked my pasuk in Bereishis. Says, "V'yisu b'nei Yisrael as Yaakov Avim," that the sons of Yisrael, they lifted up their father and they went and they brought him. This was when they were coming to Mitzrayim to Paroi, and Yosef was there. So you see, he calls them the b'nei Yisrael, and that was before Har Sinai. Says the Gemara, but la'achar ma'isa. But this was long time after that incident when Yaakov was fighting with the Malach, which when he was coming back from Paddan Aram. And At that later point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had called him Yisrael, like the Pasuk says in Bereish Lam Hei, Le'ikri Shem Chod Yaakov Kim Yisrael. See, yeah, he was called Yisrael, but that was only at a later point in time. And it wasn't at that time of the founding of the Malach. And although the Gemara previously had said that they weren't called Yisrael until Sinai, so Taisa says that was regarding the mitzvahs. So yeah, but they were called Yisrael, but it's still at a later point in time, and therefore it wasn't at the time that, this story happened to say that, oh, from that point on, they were forbidden to get on Hashem. But still, Amalei Rabacha Bereid Rabbah LeRabash, he says, but Mahi Shaita. Okay, but from that moment on, from when the Jews, from the sons of Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, and it says, V'yisu B'nei Yisrael, so they're already called B'nei Yisrael, so litzah, they should be forbidden, because it's already considered that the B'nei Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Lo Yechlu B'nei Yisrael, and they're already called B'nei Yisrael at that point in time. So that's when, from then on, they should be forbidden, and that, they were still eating behemoth tomatoes, so that should prove the point of Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei, and that he said to him, no. You think the Torah was given at different at intervals, at many different times? No. When they went to Mitzrayim, that wasn't the time of the incident. Neither was the time of the beginning of the Torah. Meaning, it was either or. We could understand, like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that he's saying, the moment that happened, when it says, they shouldn't eat it, if you want to say that that's when it happened, okay, that would make sense. And if you want to say, no, like the Chum that happened when Har Sinai, that would make sense. But to say at a later point in time, when then they started being called B'nai Yisrael, that we never entertained, and therefore that's not going to be the time when it was Aser. And therefore the Chacham who say that at the time of the incident, that he wasn't called Yisrael, and the Torah is saying it's only B'nai Yisrael should not eat it, obviously is referring to when the Torah was given Har Sinai, and again, the Pasuk was only written then to know why it was Aser, but therefore that's why they disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda and say that the Gid HaNasha does not apply to Behemoth Tmeah, because we don't find when B'nai Noach, which was the B'nai Yaakov before Har Sinai, being forbidden to Gid HaNasha, and they were eating Behemoth Tmeah, we only find it after Har Sinai.